our study in the book of 2 Timothy as we continue looking at the Apostle Paul's last will and testament, his most personal letter that he has ever written, and it's written to Timothy, his son in the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. When you found that, if you're able to stand with me as we read the Word of God, we appreciate that so much, and may the Lord add His blessing as we study His Word together. 2 Timothy chapter 1, title of the message is Motivating a Spiritual Son, Motivating a Passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. Talking today about enthusiasm and commitment. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Father in heaven, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that in these closing days of time, we have the Holy Spirit to be our guide, to teach us the things that we need to understand and know, to live a godly life to the very end of this age. May Jesus Christ be praised as we do so, and as we study your word today. And Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes and ears and our heart, help us to receive and understand and apply those things that are important to us today. We ask it in Jesus' name, for His glory. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Motivating a spiritual son. We need to remember, first of all, right up front, the theme. And you'll be reminded of this as we go through 2 Timothy frequently, probably not every single week, but frequently you'll be reminded that the main theme, the spiritual theme of 2 Timothy is be strong in grace. Be strong in grace. For by grace are you saved, and by grace you also serve. God gives us the grace in order to understand and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. God gives us the grace, which is divine ability, each and every day to serve Him with a true heart and with love, genuine love. And so Paul says there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's our theme verse, our theme song, theme of the epistle of 2 Timothy. And what does Paul mean by be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? He's saying to Timothy, look, the ministry is tough. I know it's going to be difficult. There's going to be hardship. There's going to be persecution. You're going to face trials. You're going to face false teachers. But you can do it. You can do it, Timothy. And he says to Timothy, the Lord Jesus Christ will give you the strength to do it. So that's what we need to develop in the service of the Lord today. In these closing days and hours of time before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to this earth and takes us to be with Him in heaven, we need to be enthusiastically serving the Lord. We need to be able to say, I can do it. Or as the Nike commercials say, just do it. Serve the Lord. Live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be faithful. Be true. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. You can do it. I can do it. By God's grace, amen, we can do it. And really, that's the message today. So let's go home. No, not really. But it's really important to understand the concept of what Paul is getting at in this, in these last four chapters of his career, of his life, of his ministry. And the main purpose of the letter is to emphasize not only you can do it and be doing it faithfully, but you need to do it in the face of hardship. We need to be faithful in these closing days of time, these perilous times that have come upon the earth in these latter days. So we need to be faithful in the face of hardship. And so Paul not only tells Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, but in verse 3 of chapter 2, he also tells him to endure hardship as a good soldier. Endure hardship. Be tough. Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't quit. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. See this through to the end. There's going to be many who will fall away. There will be many who will give up. There will be many who will stop following the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be many who have served the Lord Jesus Christ who say, no longer do I want to serve. I want to just quit. I want to step back. I don't want to do anything. And so the need for faithfulness in the face of hardship. Endure hardness as a good soldier. A good soldier doesn't quit because the battle is difficult. Or even when we see the battle getting close to an end, we see victory just ahead. That's not the time to quit. It's the time to keep going. And so this little four-chapter book divides itself very, very nicely. Each chapter is a major division of the book. So there's four major divisions in the book of 2 Timothy. And the first chapter deals with the pastoral approach. As a pastor, as a missionary, as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is appealing to Timothy. Motivating a spiritual son, he's going to appeal to him to be courageous in enthusiasm, courageously, enthusiastically, to shamelessly suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. You haven't done anything wrong, Timothy, even though you will suffer persecution. So be encouraged and be enthusiastic in the ministry. So courageous enthusiasm, shameless suffering, and spiritual loyalty. Be true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be genuine in your faith. Chapter 2 is not the pastoral appeal, but the practical appeal. And Paul's going to use seven metaphors in chapter 2. He's going to urge Timothy to be a good steward, a good soldier, a good athlete, a good farmer, a good workman, a good vessel, and a good servant. We'll see those seven metaphors in chapter 2. In chapter 3, we have the prophetic appeal. Looking ahead to the future, Paul says, this know, that in the last days, Paul thought he was living near the last days. If not in the last days at the time, he thought they're certainly close at hand. Little did he know there would be 2,000 years of church age in between. But he says, this know, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then he begins to describe the conditions that will exist in the church before the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And so the prophetic appeal is to warn Timothy to turn away from that which is not godly, that which is not true, that which is false in its teaching, that which is not according to the Word of God, and continue to preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally in chapter 4, the personal appeal. Paul encourages Timothy to preach the Word, to fulfill his ministry, and to be diligent and faithful. give credit to Dr. Warren Wiersbe for that simple four-point outline, and that's the outline that I'm planning at this point to follow throughout the study of 2 Timothy. So today we're going to get into the very first part of the first chapter, the pastoral appeal, and the first point is the call to courageous enthusiasm. We're going to see three appeals in chapter 1, the call to courageous enthusiasm, and then the call to shameless suffering, and then thirdly, the call to spiritual loyalty. But in verses 1 through 7 today, we're looking at the call to courageous enthusiasm. It's one of the three essentials that we must possess. Paul tells Timothy, you must have these things in order to have good success. Is good success important? It certainly is when it comes to serving our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Go all the way back to the book of Joshua, when Joshua was given leadership responsibility for the entire nation of Israel. What did God say to him? He says, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. I'll be with you whithersoever you go. And then he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt have good success. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. And so the Lord is watching. He's watching you and I. Are we going to finish well? Are we going to live this Christian life with good success? Are we going to be courageously enthusiastic about the work that God has given us to do? That is your ministry. You may think, well, it's not much of a ministry. I don't do a whole lot. But if you pray for one another, that's certainly an important ministry. If you read the Word of God and share it whenever God gives you an opportunity, that's an important ministry. Any work you do in the local church is an important ministry. Your support of missions, that's an important ministry. Your prayer for missionaries. All these things that we do, sometimes we take for granted. We need to do them enthusiastically. We need to put our soul and spirit into it. Timothy had a problem. He was a very timid young man. He was kind of soft-spoken, easygoing. He'd be a pushover for a lot of enemies of the cross. The false teachers would be difficult for Timothy to deal with. It'd be one of the hardest things in his job to have to confront people who were not teaching the truth. But he'd have to do it. He would have to do it. Paul gave him encouragement. He would have to face adversity. He would have to face his own physical afflictions. He would have to face persecution. Just like Paul, shortly after Paul's death, Timothy spent time in prison as a spiritual leader. But he was a very shy young man, very timid. He would need strength. He would need courage. He would need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And so Paul's writing to encourage Timothy, a call to courageous enthusiasm. He would have to get over his timidity, for the ministry of the gospel is no place for a timid soul who lacks enthusiasm, Dr. Wiersbe says. It's no place for someone who suffers a spirit of fear. In verse 7, notice it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. If you're fearful, Timothy, where does that come from? It didn't come from God. It didn't come from the Spirit. It comes from your own flesh. It comes from your own inner self that needs to be dedicated and committed and surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Spirit of God. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. That's from the world. That's from Satan. You need to live strong in the Lord. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Courageous enthusiasm is essential to any work of God. You need to be enthusiastic. Another word or synonym for enthusiastic, and you're not going to like this one. Please don't get up and walk out, because people don't like this word today. It's that word, dare I say it, commitment. Commitment. Paul says we need to exercise our spiritual gift and be enthusiastic in the work of the Lord. I'm going to see this here in just a moment. Paul compared the attitude of enthusiasm, courageous enthusiasm, to stirring up a fire. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God that is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Stir up the gift of God. What is the gift of God? I believe he's talking about spiritual giftedness here. I believe he's talking about the gift of preaching and teaching and evangelism that Timothy certainly had. And maybe many other spiritual gifts along with those. Did you know that you have a spiritual gift or gifts given to you by the Spirit of God? And we need to not just let them lie dormant. We need to stir them up. You ever go camping? A lot of you have gone camping. You have a campfire. If you don't keep stirring that fire up and keep adding fuel to it, what's going to happen to it? It's going to go out very quickly, right? And so we need to keep stirring up the gift or gifts that are in us and using them to the glory of God. And so Paul says, stir up the gift that is in thee. And then Paul, just to summarize verses 1 through 7, gave Timothy here in these verses four words of encouragement or four phrases that are encouraging Timothy to be courageous in his enthusiasm, to be courageous and committed in his ministry, in his service to the Lord. The first encouragement is Paul's own love for Timothy. Paul, you know, any man in the ministry, getting near the end of his ministry, loves to see young people following in his footsteps, so to speak, or taking the mantle. Here we see in this epistle, Paul passing the mantle of responsibility and ministry onto younger son Timothy. And so Paul loves to see that. He loves Timothy. Timothy is his own son in the faith. Verses 1 and 2 again. Let's look at those. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. My dearly beloved son. And so as Paul's life was drawing to a close, he realized in a very deep personal way how dear Timothy was to him. In chapter 4, we see Paul begging Timothy to come and visit him before Paul dies. So very soon, Timothy, please, please come and see me. He was in prison waiting for execution. Paul's love is visible in his blessing that he gives to Timothy. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. Dr. Wiersbe notes that he says it's worth noting that Paul added mercy to his greetings when he wrote to the pastors. The pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, all includes mercy. Not just grace and peace, but mercy. And he says perhaps that's because pastors need a lot of mercy. And so what is mercy? Mercy is when God withholds the chastisement that you deserve. Pastors and Bible teachers have double responsibility and double judgment because we're responsible not only for our own lives before the Lord, but all the teaching on how to live a godly life that we do in front of others and all the challenge to apply the Word of God in different ways and to rightly divide the Word of truth. And it's a lot of responsibility, and God holds those in ministry, those who are teachers and preachers, holds them accountable for what they're teaching. And so mercy is needed. Mercy. God doesn't chastise us the way that we probably deserve for the mistakes we make and the failures that we commit and the lack of faithfulness that we have in our lives that many people never realize. So, first of all, Paul encourages Timothy just by using that phrase, my dearly beloved son, and then giving him the blessing, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. Paul's love was visible, and then his prayers were mentioned. Paul's encouraging Timothy that you are being prayed for, son. I'm not going to forget you. I'm going to pray for you every time I think about you. I'm going to pray for you night and day. In verses 3 and 4, I thank God, Paul the apostle. How would you like to have an apostle praying for you? Wow, that would be such a honor, Such an honor to have an apostle. Of course, we don't have apostles today, but Timothy had not only an apostle, but the apostle Paul, saying, "I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day." I'm praying for you, Timothy, constantly. I don't stop praying for you. "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." Timothy was putting himself into the ministry, and it was often painful and difficult, and there would be tears involved in ministering to people in their need, and Paul was supporting him during those times with much prayer. And so what an encouragement to know that the Apostle Paul was praying for him. Paul knew Timothy better than anyone else in the world, and he knew not only his strengths, but he also knew his weaknesses. He knew the problems that he was going through as well. He prayed with a sincere heart. He even mentions that. He prayed with a heart that had a real burden for his spiritual son. He prayed with compassion and concern. Paul's not only concerned for Timothy, but all those people that Timothy would influence and impact in his ministry. He prayed with a pure conscience, and he prayed without ceasing, knowing that he would die soon. Paul prayed that Timothy would be able then also to come and see him in Rome in those last days of fellowship and ministry, and that that visit would bring great joy and great comfort to Paul's heart. So his love was a great encouragement to Timothy to be strong in the faith. His prayers for Timothy constantly would be a great encouragement to be strong in the faith, and his confidence in Timothy. In verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." The real faith, Timothy. You've got the real thing. Your faith is genuine. It's sincere. You've put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is unshakable. "I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and then in thy mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded, I'm confident." That's one of Paul's favorite expressions. "I am persuaded," or "I am confident of this." We see it in his epistle several times. "I am confident that this faith is not only in your grandmother and your mother, but it's in you too, Timothy. That faith is genuine and it's in you." And so Paul had confidence in Timothy's faith. He was sure that his faith was real, and that that faith would see him through the troubles and the trials and the persecution that he would face in ministry. Apparently, Lois, Timothy's grandmother, was the first one in the family to be won to Christ, and then his mother Eunice, Timothy's mother and grandmother, had also seen to it that he was taught as a young fellow. He was taught in the Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, Paul writes in chapter 3, verse 15. And so Paul had watched Timothy's life and his service during those early years, along with his accompanying him on part of the first missionary journey, and he was certain, Paul was convinced, he was persuaded that Timothy's faith was the real thing. People who know you well, you know, your family, your closest friends, people who really know you as you are, do they know you as a person of faith? Do they see you as someone who really trusts God? When you go through those trials, everybody does. Trials are common to man. Do you face those trials with faith? Well, God's in control. He's going to see me through. God's going to bless me. God's going to give me the grace to get through this, whatever it is. Do people see you that way, or do they see someone who's just falling apart all the time? Someone who's just trembling and shaking and can't handle the issues of life. God is with us. He's the one who comforts us with the comfort that only God can give. His grace is sufficient for all of our needs, just as it was for the Apostle Paul. I could go on and on, but how do people see you? Paul saw Timothy as a man whose faith was going to carry him through the storms of life, whose faith was going to see him through to the very end. It wasn't going to fall short of what Timothy needed for strength and to be able to endure hardness as a good soldier. Timothy's faith had resulted in him being given many marvelous opportunities to minister. And sometimes we say, you know, why doesn't God give me more to do? Why doesn't God give me more of a ministry? Opportunities to serve Him. How's your faith? Are you trusting God to do it? You know, it's really not us. It's God working through us. But we have to have the faith to believe that God can use us, that God can do a work through us. And so Paul was constantly encouraging Timothy because Paul had confidence in Timothy. And then the fourth and final word of encouragement that Paul gives to Timothy is that gift, again, coming back to this idea that this gift that is in you, this gift of God, this gift that you received from the laying on of hands. Verses 6 and 7, let me explain that just a little bit. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance. He's just calling to his attention, reminding him that thou stir up, like adding fuel to a fire and stirring up a fire, stoking a fire, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Now, you need to understand the word by, the preposition by, doesn't mean that Paul, Timothy received the gifts, the spiritual gifts, by elders or apostles laying hands on him. That preposition by can be used in the sense of recognized by or as seen through. By can be translated in so many different ways in the Greek. But the putting on of hands, Paul's reminding Timothy, look, that I myself was involved in your ordination. We tested you. We examined you. We saw God working in you. We saw God's hand upon your life. We saw the gift of teaching and preaching and your faith, which is so genuine. We recognized that. And so what did we do? We laid hands on you. And we prayed over you. And we sent you out into the ministry, Timothy. And I want you to remember that. I want you to always remember that. That this gift that is in you is significant, Timothy. And so be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And endure the hardship as a good soldier. And Paul's giving Timothy praise, recognition, encouragement, or as Bill was talking about, we could even use the word fellowship here this morning. The sharing together of the work of the ministry. Paul's doing that by encouraging Timothy. So not only had Paul the apostle, again, great honor to have an apostle involved in your life, but not only had Paul an apostle and other elders in the church ordained Timothy to the ministry, but the Holy Spirit had something to do with it too. The Holy Spirit of God, He's the one who, what? He lives in us. He indwells us. You can't get God any closer than that. I think Bill said in Sunday school something to that effect. He is in you, and He enables you to use the spiritual gifts that God gives you. The Holy Spirit enables us to serve God. He gives us the power for witnessing and service. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power, dunamis, dynamic power, you shall receive after what? After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and all Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world or the earth. A person can have a lot of natural talent. He can be well trained. He can have a lot of experience in ministry, but nothing can take the place of the power of the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit working through us. If God accomplishes anything, it's not to the credit of Darrell Gentry. It's to the credit of the Holy Spirit of God who's at work. The Holy Spirit gives us the love. Oh, love is so essential. Without love, Paul says we are nothing. Everything has to be done in love. 1 Corinthians 13. And the Holy Spirit of God gives us the love of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by, the preposition by there, now it means by the power of, through the means of, by the grace of, the Lord, or the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So if we have a love for lost souls and for the people of God that we're serving, we're going to be able to endure hardship. We're going to be able to suffer. We're going to be able to accomplish the work of God. And we also recall that love is the first mentioned fruit of the Holy Spirit in us. And so love, ability, natural ability, love, the natural ability of God, not mine, the love, and then finally, the sound mind that we see there in verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The word sound mind there means the ability to be under control of yourself. Self-control, a fruit of the Spirit also. Temperance or self-control. Where does that come from? Again, the Holy Spirit working in me. And how do I, what do I do? What do I need to do? I need to surrender. I need to give myself. I need to yield to the Holy Spirit's work in me. Because by natural ability, none of us have self-control. None of us are of sound mind. Did you know that? And be encouraged, folks. There's nobody here of a sound mind by nature. By nature. But with the Holy Spirit living in you, you can control yourself. You can, you know, and that comes as you yield to the Holy Spirit, and it gets improves. It's supposed to improve as the older we get. Sometimes we see slip backs, but the Holy Spirit's working in us. And so the Holy Spirit being the one who gives us self-control or a sound mind, do you know that's mentioned in the pastoral epistles 7 times? 7 times we're told to be of a sound mind, especially those in the ministry, to be self-controlled. And so it describes a person who is well-balanced, a person who has his life under control, a person who is well-disciplined in his study and application of God's Word. So finally, we come to our last point. Timothy didn't need any new spiritual ingredients in his life. All he had to do was stir up what was already in him. All he had to do was surrender and submit to the Holy Spirit of God. All he had to do was be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ and endure hardness as a good soldier. And the Holy Spirit is going to be there till the day you see Jesus Christ. It says in John 14:16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Forever. So in conclusion this morning, Timothy, young Timothy, timid Timothy, had every reason to be encouraged and to be filled with spiritual enthusiasm, commitment to the ministry. Paul, the apostle, Paul loved him and prayed for him. He told Timothy, you've got the Spirit, you've got the genuine faith, and you've got the Spirit, and you've got the gift in you already. You've got all the ingredients for success in the ministry. Your experiences, you've been with me on missionary journeys, you've been an overseer in the churches of Ephesus now for quite some time. You've been serving the Lord faithfully. The experiences of life have been great preparation for the ministry yet to come. The experience that God gives you and I is not just so, oh, that was a nice experience. No, it's a learning process so that God can use us in even greater ways in the future until He comes. Paul was confident of the genuineness of Timothy's faith, the faith that would give him the power needed for ministry. He had every reason to be courageous in enthusiasm. Now the question is, how about you? What about you? Are you enthusiastically serving the Lord? Are you looking for opportunities to expand your horizons? What did Jabez pray? Lord, enlarge my coasts. Never be satisfied with what you're doing for the Lord. Always desire and pray and work toward doing even more for the Lord than what you're doing now. Don't step back. Don't quit. Don't walk away. But keep on keeping on till the Lord returns. What is God preparing you to do for Him in the future? Maybe today, later today, or even tomorrow, or next week, or next month, or next year. Do you have the ingredients for success? Remind me, what is that again? Faith. Your faith needs to be genuine. Who are you trusting? You say, I can't do that. When I took my first church, one of the questions that the pulpit committee or the elders and deacons, they asked me, you know, you're a young man, you have never pastored a church. Do you really think you can do this? Can you follow a man like Gary Kearns, who is a spiritual giant? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he's like the Apostle Paul himself. He says, you really think you can? And my answer to them, no, I don't think I can. But the Holy Spirit's living in me, and by His grace, He can do it through me. I think they liked the answer because they hired me anyway. But no, I don't think I can. And then when I, trembling and shaking, was interviewed by Pastor Bob for this position, I said, you know, Pastor Bob, you are like up there somewhere in the clouds, and I'm way down there. I don't really know if I can follow in your footsteps. I don't know if I can fill your shoes. You know what he said? The only thing the people at Waynesboro Bible Church need is a pastor who will genuinely love them. Just love these people. One of the ingredients for spiritual success is genuine love, genuine faith, genuine love, and a sound mind. The Holy Spirit's still working on that one in me. So, do you possess the ingredients of a successful ministry, whatever that ministry may be? Maybe it's mopping the floors in the ministry building. Are you committed to do that enthusiastically because that's what God has given you to do? Are you praying for someone in the ministry? Paul says, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers, that with pure conscience, that without ceasing, I remember thee in my prayers night and day. Are you praying for someone in the ministry? What about your children, your grandchildren? I've met several people in my years of ministry that admitted to me, I will not pray that God would use my children in a ministry. I would not want that for them. I think there's something better for them. Oh my. It's a high calling to be used in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should pray for our children and grandchildren that God would someday use them to minister the Word of God to people who need to hear. Can you think of someone in the ministry who you can encourage? Like Paul was encouraging Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, to endure hardness as a good soldier. Can you think of someone in the ministry that needs encouraged? And let them know how much their work means to you. Build them up, fellowship, encourage them. Stir them up into love and good works. Encourage them to remember the gift of God that is in you. And then finally, are you, this really is where the rubber meets the road, are you really in a position right now? Are you in a position where God could use you? And what I'm asking by that question, do you have the Holy Spirit in you? You know, if you don't have the Spirit of God living in you, you're not even born again. You're not even a child of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He doesn't belong to the family of God. So the first thing, before you can think about serving the Lord, before you can think about a ministry or doing something for God, you need to think about inviting Him to be your Savior. Inviting Him to come into your life and be your God, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He died for you on the cross of Calvary. He was buried. He rose again the third day so that you and I could live for Him. That we could have the Holy Spirit abiding in us forever and ministering and working through us. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Father in heaven, speak to hearts today. Paul encouraged Timothy to be enthusiastically courageous in the ministry, to be confident, to stir up the gift that was in him, to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, to be true to his faith. Paul was an encourager, as we need to be encouragers. We should be encouraged as well, because we realize that we are living in exciting times. We're living in perilous times. But nevertheless, we know that because we're living in perilous times, we're also living on the brink of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It could be today. We could be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We need to live expecting the return of Jesus Christ for His church. And we need to be ready for that by trusting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.